Thank you for standing by. This is the conference operator. Welcome to the Avino Silver and Gold Mines Q2 2016 earnings conference call. As a reminder, all participants are in listen-only mode, and the conference is being recorded. After the presentation, there will be an opportunity to ask questions. To join the question queue, you may press star then one on your telephone keypad. Should you need assistance during the conference call, you may signal an operator by pressing star and zero. I would now like to turn the conference over to Charles Daley, Corporate Communications. Please go ahead.
Thank you, operator. Good morning, everyone, and welcome to the Avino Silver and Gold Mines second quarter 2016 financial results conference call. On the call today, we have the company's President and CEO, David Wolfin, as well as our Chief Financial Officer, Malcolm Davidson, and one of our directors, Mr. Jasmin Yee. Before we get started, I'm required to remind you that certain statements on this call will include forward-looking information within the meaning of applicable securities laws. These may include statements regarding Avino's anticipated performance in 2016 and future years, including revenue and cost forecasts, silver and gold production, grades and recoveries, and the timing of expenditures required to develop new mines in mineralized zones. The company does not intend to and does not assume any obligation to update such forward-looking statements or information other than as required by applicable law. Thank you. With that, I'll now turn the call over to Avino's President and CEO, Mr. David Wolfin.
Thanks, Charles, and welcome everybody. I'd like to thank you all for joining us here today. During this call, I will cover the highlights of this morning's news release and our financial and operating performance during the second quarter of 2016 compared to 2015. I'll then open up the call for Q&A to address any questions you may have. The second quarter of 2016 was a very significant period for the company, primarily because commercial production was declared at the Avino Mine. In past quarters, the sale of Avino Mine concentrate was classified as a recovery of exploration and evaluation expenses rather than revenue. Accordingly, revenue from mining operations for the quarter was $11.9 million, compared to $5.9 million during the comparative quarter last year. Although significantly higher than last year, the figure was somewhat lower due to required maintenance of a ball mill on Mill Circuit 3, as well as lower grade material from San Gonzalo stockpile being processed using Mill Circuit 2, which together contributed to a 23% decrease in silver equivalent production. We are expecting a stronger quarter of production in Q3, which should add further to our top-line revenue figure. Moving on. Mine operating income was $3.2 million compared to $2.4 million last year. The increase was also due to revenue received from the sale of Avino Mine concentrate. Our realized silver price increased by 6% from $1,610 to $1,658 per ounce sold. Our realized gold price increased by 7% from $1,179 to $1,259 per ounce sold compared to the second quarter last year. Earnings for the quarter before income taxes was $1.5 million compared to $1.2 million in Q2 last year. Net loss for the quarter after taxes was $450,000 compared to net income of $361,000 in Q2 last year, resulting in a loss of $0.01 per share, down from positive earnings of $0.01 per share last year. The loss was due to ongoing development expenses at the Avino Mine, which drove down margins, the decreased production from San Gonzalo, as discussed earlier, as well as our income tax expense, which we are working to reduce. Our consolidated all-in sustaining cash cost for the quarter was $1,451 or $1,127, compared to $1,172 or $953 in Q2 2015. Costs were higher for the same operational reasons that brought down our net income. Our cash and cash equivalents increased by 42% from December 31st, 2015, to $10.7 million. During and subsequent to the quarter, Avino has been strategically using its ATM through Cantor Fitzgerald to raise capital to advance its projects. We continue to maintain a strong balance sheet, which keeps us well positioned for expansion and new opportunities. Now on to operations. As I mentioned earlier, this quarter, our silver equivalent production decreased by 23%. The decrease was a result of required maintenance on Mill Circuit 3, as well as lower grade development material from San Gonzalo stockpile being processed using Mill Circuit 2. Broken down, our silver production was down by 16% to 381,000 ounces. Gold production was down by 20% to 1,509 ounces. And our copper production was down 16% to 1.1 million pounds. On a more positive note, our expansion plans are well underway. Last week, our contractor broke ground on a new tailing storage facility. Once completed, the current tailing storage facility will be decommissioned, allowing us to move forward with the recommendations made in the 2013 Tetra Tech PEA on the oxide tailings. To get a head start on the recommendations, we recently completed drilling on the exposed oxide bench. Results from the drill program will be included in a new resource estimate to be released later this summer. At Braylorn, we continue to develop a strategic operating plan for profitable production. Our new mine plan includes changing the mining method to long-hole mining, which is considered safer and less labor-intensive than previous trial mining methods, and would support production levels up to 300 tons per day. New mining equipment is being acquired to replace older mining equipment and to further mechanize for long-hole mining. Engineering is in progress to expand the mill and to upgrade the surface infrastructure from 100 to 300 tons per day. Expansion work for the mill and infrastructure is expected to start in the latter part of 2016. Now let's move on to the outlook for the rest of 2016. Management remains focused on the following key objectives: maintain and improve profitable mining operations while managing operating costs and achieving efficiencies. Advance the Braylorn project towards profitable production. Explore regional targets on the Avino property, followed by other properties in our portfolio. Assess the potential for processing the oxide tailings resource from previous milling operations and identify and evaluate potential projects for acquisition. We would now like to move the call to question and answer portion. Operator?
We will now begin the question and answer session. To join the question queue, you may press star, then one on your telephone keypad. You will hear a tone acknowledging your request. If you're using a speakerphone, please pick up your handset before pressing any keys. To withdraw your question, please press star, then two. We will pause for a moment as callers join the queue. The first question comes from Rob Chang, Cantor Fitzgerald. Please go ahead.
Good morning, gentlemen. A couple of questions. First off, with respect to the taxes, it seems quite high. Can you expand on how it got to that level and just more details on that, please?
Hey, Rob. It's Malcolm here.
Hi, guys.
So our total income taxes is obviously divided into current and deferred. So the current income taxes is just simply the tax that we're paying on taxable income earned in Mexico. The deferred income tax is a little bit more complicated. A lot of it's driven by using the U.S. dollar as our functional currency in Mexico. So we're translating from pesos to U.S. dollars and then to Canadian dollars. And ultimately what's happening is we're having a large of the $1 million deferred income tax expense in the current quarter, a large portion of it is driven by foreign exchange. So it is unusually high. It's a non-cash number. That being said, we've considered a few things to help mitigate this expense, and one of them is reporting in U.S. dollars as a reporting currency versus Canadian. although that can introduce other complications. But it's really from translating from the peso through to the Canadian dollar of our Mexican subsidiary.
Would that qualify as an adjusted for something that you could list as an adjusted net earnings and have that netted out?
That's a good question. I have to get back to you on that.
Okay, yeah, because it might be cleaner if that was taken out, if that qualifies.
Yeah, no, I can send you an email on that.
Sure, yeah, sounds good. Second question is, I've been looking for this, and I'm not sure if I missed it, but do you have any hedging or some type of contracts in place? And the reason why I ask is I tried to reconcile your sales based off of the realized pricing, and I couldn't quite get to the number you have in Canadian dollar terms, so because it ends up translating at probably a 0.89 U.S. to Canadian exchange rate if I were to do it roughly. I'm just wondering, is there any hedges in place or anything that explains why I couldn't quite match up the numbers?
We don't have a hedging program in place at the moment. It's something we're looking at, but the operation has grown significantly and having the Avino mine online. But as far as the reconciliation, Jasmine, maybe you can comment on just not so much on the dollar-wise, but on the on our ounces sold, because that's what's driving the difference in revenues as well.
Yeah, as far as the revenues go, Rob, basically we get paid on the basis of our deliveries. So in our contract with Samsung, basically our sales are based on delivery, and it's really the month of delivery plus 3 months down the road to finalize the pricing. And as far as I'm aware, all the revenues that we get based on the final invoicing is factored into the revenue side of things.
Okay, but that price...
That answers your question.
It sort of does. What I'm driving at, though, is the realized pricing that you guys report, for example, $16.99 for silver in U.S. dollar terms. If I were just to multiply that into your silver equivalent numbers, I get somewhere in the neighborhood of 10.6, let's call it, U.S. dollars. So if I throw in the exchange rate at the time, which I believe was better than 0.89, it gets to be a much higher number than 11.9 million Canadian. So I was just trying to figure out how that reconciles. I'm not sure if that's something you can answer over the phone or if we should do this offline, but I was just trying to get a sense of if there was an easy answer.
Yeah, it's Malcolm here again. You know, Rob, let's have a chat after the call because
sure.
I do have a few other comments that I can go over with you.
Great, thank you.
Thank you.
The next question comes from Bhakti Pavani from Euro Pacific Capital. Please go ahead.
Good morning, guys.
Good morning.
Just a quick question. What was the capital expenditure for the quarter, and how should we be looking for the expense for the remaining year?
Good question. During the period, I think our capital additions was about $1.5 million. Now, when you're looking at the statements, just to clarify, you're going to see a transfer of about $8.6 million out of exploration and evaluation assets, and about $6 million going into property, plant, and equipment, and that's reflecting the adjustment to transfer the value of the Avino mine from exploration and evaluation assets to property, plant, and equipment. So that's sort of just a movement within the balance sheet. Going forward, I mean, we've acquired most of our equipment needed for our current operation. We'll have a little bit for maintenance, but it won't be significant. And we have budgeted about $2.5 million for the completion of the new tailings facility, which is planned to be completed before the end of the year.
And how would that break up or distribute between Q3 and Q2 or Q4?
I would say 50-50. Might be a little bit more in Q4, but there are some upfront costs. But I would say 50-50 is reasonable between the two quarters.
Okay. Also, the cash cost was slightly higher compared to your past, and I'm assuming that's because of the Avino declaring commercial production at Avino mine. Could you maybe provide some color on how you can reduce that cost further for the remainder of the year, if possible?
Sure. Just a few comments on the cash cost. First of all, the margin on San Gonzalo was relatively the same, although we did sell, produce and sell fewer ounces from San Gonzalo, so that brought the cash cost up at San Gonzalo a little bit. But with the Avino mine, at the moment, we've got a combination of production mining costs and development mining costs, and development mining costs are significantly more expensive. That being said, when we transitioned to production in April, a large portion of the inventory that was carried over and subsequently treated as cost of sales was much higher because it was development-type mining that was used when that inventory was actually produced. Now, going forward, probably for the next 9 months, we'll be using a combination of development mining and production mining. We will see the cost go down, and I would say 2017, we'll see a significant reduction when we're only doing production mining.
We're still ramping down to the bottom of the mine and putting in new levels, so that's the development mining.
Fair enough. All right, thank you very much, guys. That's it from my side.
Thank you.
Thanks, Bati.
The next question comes from Hieko Aihe from Rodman Renshaw. Please go ahead.
Hey, good morning, guys. Congrats on the quarter.
Thanks.
Hi, Hieko.
Okay, I'll start with this one. Consolidated all-in sustaining cost was $1,451 per silver equivalent ounce, a 247% increase compared to $1,172. I take it this is just a typo, given that if you do the math, it gives you 23.8%. But I just want to make sure, and I'm pretty sure I'm not missing something insanely obvious here.
No, thanks for pointing that out, Heiko. No, you're absolutely right. It did increase, but not by 247%.
Because that would be very scary.
It would be.
Okay, fair enough. So 23.8 is the number to use then, and just ignore everything else that's in there. Okay. So long hole mining on Braylorn. You said you're getting the equipment. It sounds like a lot of the technical analysis stuff is done. A couple of things. Can you just sort of walk us through timeline, cost savings, anticipated costs of getting that stuff, all that good stuff? Just elaborate a little bit on what you've got listed in the release, please.
Yeah,
for Braylorn?
Yeah, this is for Braylorn. Heiko, we're still studying this, and basically the old method of mining, which is the standard stope mining, basically you could get only about a third of the tonnage as you're developing the stope. And normally this is the swell that's being taken off while you're mining. With the long hole, basically whatever you mine, you'll be getting it out, which is why the larger throughput makes a lot of sense. At the same time, you really got to factor in there's also a dilution problem that you may be faced with. So basically, we want to do the actual test. The numbers currently being generated by NTEC, which is the engineering firm that has a lot of long hole mining experience, and they're sort of helping us walk us through on this. But the first phase would be to do an actual test and see how this works out when we start up the Braylorn operation.
Yeah, okay. Fair enough.
We've already started ordering parts to expand the mill. We're looking at upgrading the surface buildings, and so we're already moving ahead on all that.
I'll try again. Are you willing to just sort of hint me at how much you spend or how much you anticipate spending?
Well, I can tell you what we've spent. It's outlined in the financial statements. I'm just going to get a quick reference here. We spent about $3 million this year. A big portion of that was, or the most significant portion, was the improvement of the tailings facility and also for water treatment. As we're more or less on care and maintenance at the moment, we've kept all of our other costs to an absolute minimum, other than any capital improvements we're making to the mill.
Yeah.
So going forward, to answer your question, as Jasmine mentioned, we're still analyzing a few different options. Obviously, each of them have a different capital expenditure amount. And we haven't made any decisions on what's going to make the most sense. There's still more information needed, and we're working with a number of consultants to come up with the most optimal plan.
Gotcha. Okay.
But
David,
I'll actually be up there this week, and I think when I see you next week, I can give you a bit more of an update.
Gotcha. Okay. So silver was down 16%, copper down 16%, but gold was down 20%. And I mean, I know we're only talking about 1,500 ounces, but should we model out a little bit, silver down 16%, copper down 16%, gold down 20%. Should we be modeling out maybe slightly lower gold grades for the rest of the year, or was this sort of a one-off?
Well, when we declared commercial production, it's on the upper level on the perimeter of the deposit, which is lower grade. And the development mining down below is in the heart. And so we expect the perimeter mining, the mining method uses long hole sublevel caving, which is going to retreat back towards the core area of the mine. So we anticipate better grades going forward.
Perfect. Excellent. Thank you, guys. Talk to you next call.
Thanks, Heiko.
Thanks, Heiko.
The next question comes from Mike Heim from Noble Financial. Please go ahead.
Thanks. I'm still trying to understand the difference between the operating income and the net income, and you touched a little bit on taxes and foreign currency, but I haven't seen full financial statements at this point. I'm wondering if you can just kind of fill in those exact numbers and comment on when stuff will be posted to the website.
The income before other items or net income before tax?
I'm looking at just some of the line items between operating income and net income, specifically.
Oh, sure.
The tax.
Okay. Looking at the quarter, I mean, we've got $230,000 in foreign exchange gain. It has a combination of realized and unrealized on translation to pesos and U.S. Sorry, from pesos to U.S. dollars and Canadian dollars. A bigger number is the $670,000, the fair value adjustment on the warrant liability. A few years ago, when we did a financing, we did issue warrants denominated in U.S. dollars. And each reporting period, those need to be revalued. And the biggest variable in that evaluation is foreign exchange. So depending on movements between the Canadian and U.S. dollar, we'll see a gain or a loss each quarter. We're hoping to have those warrants exercised or not have them at the end of the year, so we won't have that fluctuation anymore. The accretion on the reclamation provision is simply the amortization of reclamation provisions in Mexico and Canada. We have an interest expense on our equipment loans and finance leases with Sandvik and Caterpillar, respectively. And that's sort of the main components of other items.
And what was the tax expense?
The tax expense was $1.9 million, and that was made up of $900,000 of current income tax expense, which is basically tax on our net income, and there was about $1 million of deferred income tax expense, which I commented on a little bit earlier with Rob.
Okay.
And the biggest component of that $1 million again was foreign exchange.
Okay. Also, on an unrelated note, are we getting closer to new reserve numbers?
Yeah, there's a new 43-101 expected out this summer.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks, Mike.
Once again, if you have a question, please press star, then one. The next question comes from Todd Davis, a private investor. Please go ahead.
Thank you, gentlemen. My question's been answered. I was just curious on your average silver selling price. It just seemed low for the quarter, considering, you know, silver was above $17 an ounce other than the first week of June. So I was just a little curious on that.
Malcolm?
It's a little low. I mean, my comment there would be there's, you know, simply a difference of about a month. And, you know,
yeah, it's the M plus three, the fact that our silver pricing is based on the month of delivery.
Correct.
And 3 months after that. So basically, we're sort of lagging a little behind,
right,
rather than the current price. It's basically what's causing it.
Some of the higher metal prices we've seen in the last few months, we'll start to realize those in Q3.
Yeah, in Q3, correct.
Okay, gentlemen, thank you. Congratulations again on bringing Avino online. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
The next question comes from Bernie Mulesk, a private investor. Please go ahead.
Yes, I have a fairly simple question. Your contract with Samsung, I guess they take out treatment and refining charges. Now, do the treatment and refining charges and the shipping charges come out before income, or are they counted as part of your income? In other words, is it pre-income or is it after income? And can I count that as a cost?
It's pre-income.
Okay. So in other words, the revenue already includes those treatment and refining charges.
That's correct. The revenue is on a net basis, and then we deduct our in-house production costs.
Okay. Now, the question on Avino is you had production of 22 tons, but yet you shipped 65 tons or 63 tons. Where did the extra tonnage come from? If I'm reading your MD&A correctly.
I think we always keep a surplus, so we may have delivered a little more that quarter.
Okay, so it's just timing of deliveries.
Correct.
Okay, thank you. That's all I have.
Yep. Okay, thanks for the question.
The next question comes from David Sheridan from World Over Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi, guys.
Hello.
Just coming back to this particular point everyone keeps talking about with respect to the price received versus the silver price that you state, it would appear to me, having gone back in history over the life of Avino, that you basically lose about 13 or 14% every quarter, which is basically the charge that you must be now being charged by Samsung and previously being charged by someone else. Is that a fair comment?
Correct.
Yeah, that's what I thought. Okay, fine. Next thing, is the target for 2016 on production still to produce around 3 million equivalent ounces of silver?
It's between 2.8 and 3.
2.8 to 3. Okay. And after the second quarter's results, how are you feeling about that as far as where you're likely to be in that range? Are you feeling that you're more likely to be at the conservative end, or are you more optimistic that you can get towards the upper end?
Jasmine, you want to take that one?
Yeah, I think on the conservative side, I think we're probably looking more like about 2.8 million ounces for the year.
Yeah, fair enough.
That's what you know. I would say, and if we do hit 3 million, that's really a bonus.
Okay. Two more questions for you. There has been discussion, and I know the CEO has mentioned it at various times, that there is, once Avino mine comes into production and that you establish your mining capability and you're more confident of your reserve position, that you would contemplate an increase in mill capacity at the combined San Gonzalo and Avino mines from 1,500 tons per day, which is where you are now, towards 2,500 tons per day at a cost of around $3 million. Is that still something that you're contemplating? And if you are contemplating, is the decision determined by the upcoming 43-101 statement, which will give you more confidence as to how much ore you got there, or is it dependent on other factors?
Well, the additional circuit we're looking at is estimated to cost between $2 and $3 million. that's not including the cost for more underground mining equipment. So we are studying this right now, and as we develop the rest of the mine and open up enough levels to feed a larger mill, we will then, you know, plan towards that in the future. So it's currently in planning phase.
Right, but is it determined more by the 43-101 that's coming up?
No. Nope.
It's
determined by a number of factors. It's determined by having the mine fully developed, having enough haulage trucks to bring it out to feed a larger circuit, and timing it all so when the mill's ready, we can feed it. So we're looking at larger trucks for the underground and availability of getting those larger trucks. So it's a lot of work that we're we don't have a timeline on it just yet.
Right, okay. And which brings me to the next point, which is that the new tailings dam, which you're putting in place now at a cost of around $2.5 million, I'm assuming all these costs that you talk about are in Canadian dollars, but I'm never really sure because it didn't matter at one point, but now it's a slightly different exchange rate. I guess it matters a bit more. So are they Canadian dollars you talk about or U.S. dollars?
No, it's usually U.S. dollars.
U.S. dollars.
Most
okay.
of our capital items and significant expenditures are in U.S.
Oh, okay, fair enough. So that brings me to the point is that you're going to put in a new a tailings dam, which will take about 6 months, take you to the end of the year, and then you're contemplating at some point basically processing what is left in the old tailings dam.
So how it works is that we have a PEA, and in the recommendation, we must drill off the entire tailings dam, and we want to metallurgically test the upper sulfides. There's about 3.5 million tons of sulfides sitting on top of about 2 to 3 million tons of oxides. So in order for us to proceed and make a construction or production decision, we need to do more testing. So the PEA, it's just a PEA, it's not a pre-feas or a feas. So it recommends extensive drilling of the tailings and metallurgical test work to see if the upper sulfides leach. If so, that's going to improve the economics. And then we'll have a reserve and we can make a construction decision at that time. So to get a head start on all this, we pre-drilled the exposed oxide bench because it wasn't damp, it wasn't dangerous to put a drill rig on it. So we've completed that. And that portion of the oxides is going to be included in the new new resource estimate. So once we decommission this tailings dam, we're going to drill some wells so we can pump out the water that's saturated through it, and then it'll be safer to put a drill rig up on the top.
Okay. So is there any timeline with respect to when you think you'll be able to finish the drilling and get an idea of what your...
Well, as soon as we finish building the new tailings facility, then we'll decommission, we'll stop dropping new tailings on it and carry on immediately. So we'll put in those water wells, dry it out, and as soon as it's safe to put a rig on top, we'll do that. So that will be next year. Then we'll do metallurgical test work, and Jasmine can tell you what's involved in that and how long that takes. Jasmine, do you want to comment on that?
Yeah, basically the drilling and the test work will take place next year once the tailings dam has been decommissioned. The old tailings dam has been decommissioning. According to the Tetra Tech schedule, when they did the PEA, they were looking at it from the time they start to the time the study is completed is around about 8 months, the construction and everything. So that's more or less the timeline that we're sort of working with.
Right. So just to give me a rough idea, then, would that indicate that if drilling and metallurgical work is finished in 2017, 8 months for construction, potentially you are going to be producing from there somewhere at the back end of 2018. Is that fair or not?
Yeah, that's...
If all goes well.
Yeah.
Yep.
Okay. And is there any sort of relationship between that and the expansion or potential expansion of production from Avino. In other words, do the two sort of at some stage come together? You have to make a decision as to which one you opt for first, or can they be run concurrently?
They can be run concurrently.
But of course, the mill is then going to be the factor. Is the mill going to be a factor as far as
we have three independent circuits, so we wouldn't be shutting down anything. So we could just build.
No, we're not shutting down anything. But you can't just keep you can't expand Avino, start production at the tailings without.
The tailings is a separate operation. It's right beside. It's a heap leach operation. The mill is a flotation plant.
Of course, it is. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Yeah. Of course, you're right. But does it? So there's no overlap between increase in production at Avino and in heap leach operation at the tailings. You can do them the same, and they're not using the same equipment.
Correct.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Okay. All right. And will you also, when you're doing your drilling and metallurgical work next year, you'll be also assessing the cost, the final cost of treating the tailings? Because
absolutely.
Your PEA said about $22 million, if I remember.
29 on a standalone basis, sorry. But we have 490 people there, so it won't be a standalone operation.
Right. Okay.
All the infrastructure is there.
Yeah, no, I understand that.
So 43-101 requires economic studies to be priced out on a standalone basis.
Yeah, okay. All right, that's the end of my questions.
Thanks, David.
Thank you very much.
The next question comes from Myra Cuss, a private investor. Please go ahead.
Oh, I can't. Sorry,
hello?
Operator. I can't respond.
We can hear you.
Oh, okay, good. Okay, sorry. I'm talking to you via Skype from Europe. That's why I thought that my telecommunications here wasn't adequate.
We hear you loud and
hello?
Clear.
Good.
Please proceed.
Okay. Yes, my questions. The ATM of Cantor Fitzgerald, any indications as to when you might be using it, or at what point in the drop in your working capital? Because you have, based on the answers to some of the other investor questions, you seem to have a fairly ambitious cash requirement over the next 2 years.
Well, as David, it's Malcolm here. As David mentioned earlier, we've strategically used the ATM, when it's worked for us for raising capital for some of the expansion, but we'll continue to use it strategically. We may use it for some of our expansion plans, or we may look at other financing opportunities with some of our current partners. We've managed it well, and we've been very careful that we haven't overused it.
Okay. Pulling all the questions together from the analysts and from investors, I just see that there's a lot of difficulty in understanding your financial statements because of the currency translations that you have to go through, which inadvertently seem to kick up some income tax liabilities. Maybe you could devote some time to clearing it up so we can have an easier time of understanding what you're doing.
Yeah, that's it.
And you're doing well, pardon me. You're doing it well, except so that we can understand it easier.
It's a really good comment, and the finance team has looked at a few alternatives, and one of them is reporting in U.S. dollars, which makes a lot of sense in many ways, but it also will depend on how we proceed with Braylorn. Not that that makes all the difference in the world, but it obviously everything, or most of the expenditures at Braylon are in Canadian dollars. But it's a good question, and obviously we want to mitigate impacts of foreign exchange, certainly negative ones, on our financial statements. So it is certainly a priority for us, and stay tuned. We'll have some updates in the next quarter or two.
And just a very quick question. I know that you have in the past negotiated some good deals with Sandvik and Caterpillar. Are you noticing any tendency for price increases, which is basically what happened in the period from 2008 to 2013, where all the metal, the precious metal price increases were eaten up with higher, I'm not referring to your particular case, but in general, in the mining industry, were pretty well eaten up by increased expenses on equipment raises and so on.
It's a good point. As I mentioned earlier, we've already acquired most of the capital equipment we need for our current operations, so we haven't been buying a lot of new equipment. Obviously, we do keep a close eye on costs, but we do have a lot of sources that we can continue to utilize our current credit facilities with Caterpillar and Sandvik. We also may look at there's a lot of good used equipment on the market right now. So it really depends, but we certainly have low cost access to it.
And a quick question on the Samsung. Do they really, when they were doing due diligence on you, and obviously they must have spent a lot of time with you, did you get the impression that they were so, that they felt somewhat exposed or fragile that they couldn't have a secure silver source?
I don't think so.
Yeah, we didn't sense that at all when we were negotiating with them.
No, they had told us that Apple and Intel were promoting that they know where the source of the raw materials are coming from and that they weren't coming from slave labor type operations, and they just wanted a secure source because they have ethical funds that own shares in their company, and they don't want them to be boycotting Samsung for any bad press or anything like that. So they just they're trying something different and new, and it seems to be working out well.
Okay, so it was sooner from this ethics perspective rather than a supply shortage or securing of supply.
It's probably both.
Okay, Sprott, Eric Sprott is saying that there's going to be a silver shortage. Neumeier also. I'm just questioning whether it's actual or whether this is something that is being only predicted at this point.
Well, I think there's an imbalance of supply and demand. It's being consumed. So at some point, yeah, there could be a squeeze that takes the value up higher. Nobody knows when that's going to happen because you've got the ETFs and the paper securities out there that kind of skew the figures and people's perception. So, I mean, there's $1 billion worth of ETFs that change a day, and there's only probably 1 billion ounces of silver produced annually.
Okay. Thank you. That's all for now.
Thank you for the question.
Thank you.
The next question comes from Grant Marquette, a private investor. Please go ahead.
Hello, how are you guys?
Hi, Grant.
Rick.
Hi.
Hi. Perfect timing. This tails right on what you were saying, Mr. Wolfen, about the current silver shortage, the imbalance of supply and demand. And, you know, as a shareholder, that's kind of the elephant in the room for me on investing in companies like yours, and, you know, the current mechanism that sets the price, the anywhere from 4 to 12 players that set, 80% of the spot price. So I'm just kind of looking for comments, maybe more comments than you already touched on, you know, on things involving the gold to silver ratio that are way out of whack, you know, just getting to the realization of the true supply and demand. And you maybe can touch a little bit on what happened in 2011. Why did the price jump up to 48? Why are we at where we're at now? What's changed? I mean, we're looking at something in 1980 that, as we all know, the Hunt brothers, two wealthy brothers, bought too much of it and raised the price to 50. So it's a very interesting commodity, and I'm just seeing if you can touch on some of
that. I think supply and demand was what helped that drove it up in the mid 2000s, and then in 2011 it was the COMOX that raised the margin requirements about 5 times in 2 weeks, because the warehouses in Chicago couldn't keep up with the delivery, and they wanted to stop the speculators from driving it up too fast. So that's what capped the ascent. But I think it's just all a sign, you know. I mean, I think that demand is growing. They're using it in solar. They're using it in electronics. All of that is growing. So, I mean, and they say it's the poor man's silver. So a lot of people are buying coins and putting them away. So I just don't see the demand slowing down anytime in the future. A lot of people are concerned about what's going on in the world, and they're loading up. So there's going to be a squeeze. Like, it's going higher, but I just can't tell you within a year or two, but in the long term, it's going up.
Would you guess it would be more supply-driven on industrial usage? I mean, silver is something now we really can't live without, with the way we use it now in our life. And we're talking about a monetary metal that a lot of people forget. The financiers think so much about gold, but pre-1933 is when we have to go back to see gold as a currency. I mean, we can go all the way up to 1970 to see silver used as money. So to me, silver is a much more monetary metal.
Absolutely. And I think a lot of people, I think a lot of people agree with you. That's why they buy the coins, because if they had to use it for money, it's a lot easier to sell them, because they're in smaller denominations than gold.
So you think investment demand in the future could be just as strong or stronger of a driver than...
Absolutely. The U.S. Mint can't even keep up with demand on printing the coin, making the coins.
Well, I hear, some of the largest players setting the price are buying it.
Well, I might add, we have a small inventory of coins, too, so if anyone's interested. Yeah, we still
do. But one last question, guys, if you don't mind.
Sure.
I know one of the largest players in the industry has spoken recently of suggesting a holdback of silver to help, you know, fight back against the silver fix.
Sure, sure.
Any comment on that?
We'd love to be able to do that, but we're using all our cash to finish our expansions and grow our operations. So at some point, we'd like to be able to do that, but we're just not at that stage just yet. But it's a good idea.
Kind of one of those easier said than done things for any business, I guess.
Easier for those bigger ones.
You know,
like First Majestic's holding back, you know, some of their production, but they're issuing equity, so which is better for the investor in the long run? I'm not sure. So,
sure. Well, I wish the best to you guys. I'm really liking your company. I'm liking the future of silver, as we spoke about. So, keep her going.
Thank you very much.
Thanks, Grant.
You bet. Thanks, guys. Have a good day.
Yeah.
This concludes today's question and answer session. I would like to turn the conference back over to David Wolfin for any closing remarks.
Well, just want to thank you all very much for your time and interest in the company. Those questions were fantastic. Stay tuned. We've got a lot of good news coming, more expansions coming. So keep an eye on us, and thanks again. Take care.
This concludes today's conference call. You may disconnect your lines. Thank you for participating and have a pleasant day.